Throughout the Gospels, Jesus told stories, but not just any old stories, stories that were powerful, informative, and transformative. These parables were the basis for how he taught and our best insight into how he views the world. Join us this fall for a study in the parables as we look at the moral of the story. And now, here's today's message.
Morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning? Isn't it wonderful? Sunshine makes such a difference. When I'm at the doors and I see people come in, they're smiling because it's sunny and not cloudy. It's great. Wouldn't you like more sun? Wouldn't you? You know, Deb and I, we had that vacation recently, and I'll stop talking about that after 6 months or so, but it was a wonderful vacation, and the thing is, we left here, and it was rainy, right? I mean, we had all that rain all summer, and we left, and it was still kind of rainy and cloudy, and we got over to Ireland, and you know why everything is green in Ireland? It rains all the time. You know, so every day it was rain, you know, a little bit of sun, rain, a little bit of sun. And actually, the only day of real sunshine we had was the day before we left to come back home. Okay. And in the meantime, we heard the weather back here, like the day we left, I think it was, it started 80 and sunny every day. Right. So I don't know. Maybe I'm responsible, although it's sunny today and I'm here. So I guess it's not all on me. But wouldn't you like more sun? Wouldn't more sun be wonderful? Don't you like more? You know, do you ever get surprised when you get more than you expected? We like more, don't we? I mean, I think we're wired that way. You know, if you started a new job, and I heard one of our guys that works here with us at the church, he part-time, one of the, Nick Dunn, actually, he got a new job. Can you imagine getting a new job, and you go into personnel, and they say, okay, normally, new people, new hires, you get 2 weeks of vacation, but today we're running a special, and today you get 4 weeks vacation. Would you say to them, no, thank you, I really don't want the four, I just really want the two? Of course not. You'd say, thank you, I'm glad for more, right? If you went to the gas station with $10, all you got is 10 bucks, you go in, you want to get gas, and you have to prepay, so you give them the $10, say, I want $10 worth of gas, and they say, not today, today we're running a special, today you get double what you pay for, so you get $20 worth of gas today. You would say, thank you, right? I'm glad to get more. We like more. Deb and I, on one of our flights for our vacation, which I'll stop talking about in 6 months or so, we were on the plane, right? And we're in the cheap seats, okay? And the flight attendant makes an announcement and reads off the names of three guys, which kind of made me nervous. Like, why are you doing that? You know, that doesn't happen all the time. And I'm hoping that she doesn't read my name, because I don't know what I've done, and I don't want to find out. But she doesn't read my name. She reads these three names, and then she and I could see from where I was sitting, they were all in front of me, and so I could see what happened after that. They raised their hands, and she came down the aisle, and she took them all into first class. You know, not one of them said, no, thank you, I'm going to stay right here where I'm at, right? I mean, we like more. And sometimes, you know, we get kind of home, we say, well, you know, I shouldn't want more, that's greedy, right? I you know, it's not a good thing to ask for more. I should be content with what I have. I want to tell you, there are times when it's not only right to ask for more, but Jesus encourages us to ask for more. And the parable we're going to look at today, at the end of that parable, it's a verse that's not in the parable itself, but it's in his commentary after the parable. In Luke 8:18, you can take out a Bible if you want. Luke, open up to Luke chapter 8. That's where we're going to be drawing this from. In Luke 8:18, Jesus indicates that we should want more. And this is what he says in verse 18 of Luke 8. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. If you listen well, if you're a good hearer, then you are going to receive more. And that's a good thing. More what? We might ask that question. What are we going to receive more of if we listen well? If we listen well. And I'll just give you a little heads up. This is about listening to God. Okay, it's about listening to God's word specifically. Well, if we listen well to God's words, what can we expect to get? I believe we can expect to get more joy. I believe we can expect to get more power for living. I believe we can expect to get more contentment. I believe we can expect to get more hope. I believe we can expect to get a better, a greater relationship with God. And I believe that comes right down into our relationships with each other. That if we are good listeners of God's word, we can expect more out of our relationships with each other. We can expect more out of life if we know how to listen well. So Jesus says again, consider carefully how you listen, because whoever has will be given more. And I want all of us to get more. I want more. So we're going to talk about listening today. Listening has great importance for our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. In fact, I would tell you that as a social worker, I began to really learn and understand this, and I will tell you as a pastor, I understand it even more, that if we want to make improvements in our relationships with people, one of the very first places we can begin to do that is in the way that we listen. In the way that we listen. You want a better relationship with your spouse? Really begin to listen. You want a better relationship with your children? Really listen to them. Not just hearing the words. Because Jesus says in the midst of this parable, he tells a parable and then he makes a comment and then he gives the explanation. In the midst of that, where he makes the comment, he says, if you have ears to hear, hear. Well, I think all of us have ears, right? I mean, I'm guessing all of us, most people have ears. In fact, most of us have two of them. We have ears. So why would Jesus say, if you have ears to hear, hear? Because not all of us use our ears or our listening well. So Jesus is saying, if you really listen, you're going to be blessed for that. And I think, again, that's true in our relationship with God, and it's true in our relationship with each other. So it matters. It's important how we listen. This parable of the sower and the seed, it's included in three synoptic, we call them synoptic gospels. Synoptic means one view, and they are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called one view or synoptic gospels because they all kind of take a similar view of Jesus. John is a little bit different in the way that he writes about Jesus. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include this parable of Jesus's in their accounts. And then Jesus takes the time, as I said, to explain this parable. He doesn't do that with all of his parables, but he does it with this one. Now, those two things combined make me think, as I'm listening to Jesus, that this really matters to him. He really wants us to get this, okay? So he instructed through the Spirit that Matthew, Mark, and Luke would all include it in their accounts, and then he took the time with his disciples to explain it. So what is the parable? Well, you heard the parable in the clip. You heard about a farmer who goes out to sow his seed. So there is a sower. There is a man who is broadcasting his seed. He is spreading seed around on a field. Okay? And then the seed. We heard about the seed is what he's throwing around. And there is the soil. So we have a sower, we have seed, and we have the soil that the seed lands on. Now here's the important thing that we need to understand. There is nothing wrong with the sower. Okay? Jesus doesn't indicate in this parable there's anything wrong with the sower at all. He's doing exactly what he ought to do. He is spreading seed around. Okay? He's doing it well. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is good seed. The seed will be productive seed. The seed will take root and it will produce a crop. If, and here's the variable, if the soil is right, if the soil is prepared to receive the seed, and to grow that seed into a crop, then the seed will produce a crop. Nothing wrong with the sower, nothing wrong with the seed. The issue is, what is the condition of the soil? And what is the soil? It's the heart of the listener. It's the heart of the listener. So Jesus is saying, are your hearts prepared to hear God's word? That's what the seed is. He tells us that. Let me read a little bit as we begin to explain this parable and talk about it a little bit. Verse 11, Jesus goes on to say, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So there it is, the word of God. Now that could be the gospel, okay? Some commentators think that he's referring specifically to the gospel there, the good news that Jesus is coming into the world and he's establishing a kingdom and that by faith in him, we can all be part of it. It could be more than that. It could just be the word of God entirely. I found something interesting in my reading I'd come across before, but not I hadn't put it in this context. In Revelation, there is a verse in Revelation 13, I think it is, where it says, Jesus, one of the names for Jesus is the Word of God. So the seed is the gospel. It's everything God has to say to us, and it's Jesus himself. And the sower is the one, whoever that might be, and it might be you, who is sharing that with others, who is spreading it around, spreading around the Word of God, spreading around the gospel, spreading Jesus. So we can all be sowers, okay? And the seed is the Word of God. And then he goes on to explain. He says, those along the path, so when the seed falls on the path, he says, those are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. What's happening there? Well, the path is hard ground, okay? You know, when you walk on the same path over and over and over again, that ground becomes very hard. And so this is hard ground. And when the seed falls on that hard ground, it can't penetrate the ground. It cannot grow. It can't take root. It has no chance at all. And so just lying there on the top of the ground, he says earlier, the birds come and take it away. He says here, Satan actually comes and steals it away. So this is seed, this is the Word of God falling on a heart that has no intention, no desire, is not at all prepared to hear what God might have to say to them. Okay? That's a hardened heart. Okay? And it sounds in that like Satan's heart. Satan's not hardening the heart. Satan is just taking the seed away from a heart that's already hard. A heart that has already decided that I really don't care what God has to say. I have no desire to hear anything from God. It'll take me a second here to open this up, but I was thinking about this morning, and there is a something that someone wrote. A philosopher teaches at a university, and this is, let me just read to you a little bit of what he said. I want atheism to be true, and I'm made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't that I don't believe in God and actually hope that I'm right in my belief. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that. Can I tell you that those are the words of a hardened heart? Those are the words of a person who says, you know, it's not that I'm open to the idea that there may be a God and I'm willing to explore that. I don't want there to be a God, period. I don't want the universe to be like that. And when hearts are hardened in that way, the Word of God just simply cannot penetrate. We've made up our mind. It's like throwing a tennis ball against a concrete wall. It just bounces off and has no impact. So that's the first kind of soil. That rejects the Word of God. The second, Jesus goes on to say, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the Word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Now, this is, you know, a little bit of progress here. The Word is received with joy. And can I tell you that that I think most of the time when the Word is first really heard, it's received with joy, right? I mean, when we really hear the Word of God, when we really hear the gospel, most of the time I think our reaction is joy. It's like, this is good news. This is what, my sins can be forgiven. I can be right with God. I can be right in my heart. I can be right with other people. I don't have to carry guilt and shame with me anymore. This is good news, and we should receive that with joy. I love joy. You know, sometimes I'm not really the pessimist I might seem like sometimes, okay? I'm not really the glum kind of guy that I might seem to be sometimes. I think joy is wonderful. I love joy. I love seeing your smiles. I love happiness. I love making people happy. I love all of that, okay? It's great. And as a beginning point with the gospel, it's wonderful. But what does Jesus say? In the time of testing. Three ways, I forgot to put this slide up, but here's three ways. We already talked about the first. We short-circuit our ability to hear. We're hardened against hearing. This is the second one. We allow our feelings to rule over us. See, this is what happens when someone receives the good news with joy, but it never goes any deeper than an emotion. Third kind of soil is the thorny or weedy soil, the weedy ground. And he says, in this case, the Word of God is heard, and people begin to have a response to it, and so it begins to grow. The plant or whatever begins to grow, but along with it, there's a growth of weeds. And all of the weeds eventually choke out the growth of that plant, and it dies. And he says these weeds, in particular, are life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And so the faith does not mature. So what he's saying there, we get preoccupied with lesser things. We begin to hear the word of God, it begins to have effect, but then we become preoccupied with lesser things. We become preoccupied with our worries instead of turning our worries over to God, instead of looking to his word to help us with our worries and fears and anxieties. We just become consumed by them. We get preoccupied with the good things and the pleasures of life and the world and the distractions. And eventually, if we don't take care of that, if we don't weed those things away from the word of God in our lives, they can take over the word of God. They can choke it out and cause it to have to die in us so it has no more impact. Now, let me give you a quick story. Guess where it's going to be from? Our trip, right? I told you, 6 more months, I'll stop talking about it. But you know, I came back with illustrations. So here we are. We're in Scotland, Deb and I, and we're in a restaurant on a place called the Royal Mile. Royal Mile, it's a wonderful street, pedestrian street, shops and so forth. At one end is the Parliament. It was in Edinburgh. One end is Parliament. The other end is this big castle, you know, and all this stuff's going on. And we stopped to get something to eat at this restaurant, and we're talking about the trip. We're winding down last couple days of our trip. We're talking about things. And over here, there's a table with 4 Americans, I was not, like, eavesdropping. I just couldn't help but hear because they were talking loud enough that it was easy, right? So we were there about an hour, and I'm not making this up, and I'm not exaggerating this, I promise you. For that full hour, their conversation was about the Kardashians.
When you say...
Now, I'm not picking on anybody who follows the Kardashians. Please don't be offended. Here's what I'm saying. You're in Scotland! There's all kinds of stuff here. Hopefully you've experienced it. And all you can talk about for an hour is what this Kardashian did to this Kardashian and what this one said and what that one and all this stuff. And what I thought then and then coming back and preparing this message, what I thought now is how easy it is for us to get preoccupied with lesser things. Not necessarily always unimportant things.
It was actually really funny.
But lesser things. And when we allow lesser things to preoccupy us to the point that it drives the Word of God away from us, that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, Jesus says the fourth kind of soil is the good soil. This is the soil in which the Word of God can get planted, take root, grow, and produce. In fact, he says in verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And the really good news is that phrase that we started with, where Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. Because what he's saying is, all of us can become prepared soil. All of us can become people whose hearts are ready for that seed, who can respond to that seed if we will consider carefully how we are listening. So for the last part of this message, I want to go through just a few things, simple steps that we, each of us, can take to be better hearers of God's word. Now, I'm going to give you a simple point and then a verse, and all of these verses are going to come from Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it is a beautiful song written by someone who is in love with God and in love with his word. And so there's a lot of richness to take from there, a lot of rich words to take from there that will help us as we seek to become better listeners to God, better hearers of God's word. 4 things. Here's the first one. Make the effort to hear. Make the effort to hear. We have to choose that we are going to hear God's word. Psalm 119, verse, here it comes. Wait for it. There it is. Psalm 16, 119, 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do you hear that that's a choice and a decision? I will not neglect your word. Whatever else I may have to sacrifice in the course of my day, what I will not neglect is listening to your word. And we have so many ways to do that, right? I mean, we can do that with the Bible, where we sit down at home and we take a few minutes and we read, whether it's in the morning or at night or whenever works for you. We can do that in our car, right? We can listen to the Word of God. You can listen to the Bible on, I was going to say tape. I started to say that this morning. That dates me. No, you can listen to it digitally, right? And you can have the Bible read to you, okay? I know people that do that. As they're driving to work, they have the Bible read to them. And you can. There are all kinds of ways to hear the Word of God, but we have to make the decision that we are not going to neglect the Word of God. We're not going to let a day missed become a week missed, become a month missed, become no longer in the Word of God. So wherever you are, maybe it's been a month since you have read the Word of God or listened to the Word of God. That's okay. I'm not here to condemn you for that. What I want to say to you is do that today. Sometime today, do that. Sit down and read or listen to the Word of God. If you don't know where to start, if you don't know how to do that, talk to a friend who is doing it, or talk to one of us, and we'll be happy to help you. But you know, we need to listen to the Word of God. Another Psalm 119, 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your word. You know, it's real easy to get up before dawn right now, okay? Because dawn doesn't happen till like 7:30 in the morning. Okay? But that's not the point, is it? The point of this verse is the psalmist knows from the start of my day I need to anchor myself in God's word. I need the help and the hope that I get from God's word. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this, pray for understanding. Pray for understanding. Probably the thing that knocks people out of the Word of God as much as anything else is, and I hear this a lot, I was reading and I just got confused and lost. I didn't get it, and I stopped reading.
Oh, it said memory. Okay? So here we go.
And that happens. You know, I've been reading the Bible for over 40 years, and there are still times when I go, I don't understand that. I'm not sure what that means, okay? And I need to learn more about that. I'm surprised by that or challenged by that. Okay, we need to pray for understanding. Here's a verse from 119, verse 18, and I'm suggesting that you memorize this. It's a simple verse, and it's a powerful prayer. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
Same timing as I'm typing it.
Lord, open my eyes. If I'm going to understand your word, if you want me to understand it, and I believe that you do, and I am going to understand it, I need you to open my eyes. You've got to help me see this. You've got to open me up so that I can get it. Okay, show me what you want me to know. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things that are in your law. So we hear, we pray, third, we think. Think about what you hear. Okay, don't, you know, we make the mistake sometimes of reading quickly and then quickly moving on to the next thing. What I'm suggesting is if you have 10 minutes to read your Bible in the morning or to listen to the Bible in the morning, spend 5 of those minutes actually reading or listening. And spend the next 5 minutes thinking about what you just read or what you just heard. Take time to process it. What is God saying to me? What is he asking me to do here? What is he helping me to understand here? What am I learning about who God is as I read this passage? You know, we need to think about this. The psalmist says, again in Psalm 119, I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. How do you do that? Here's a simple practical suggestion. Get some post-it notes or some file cards and put them next to the place where you read or listen to your Bible. And as you read or listen, something may strike you, write it down. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's something you understand new about God. Maybe it's something you're challenged by. But just write it down and then put it in your pocket or something. Take it with you and refer to it throughout the day. And learn to think about what God is speaking to you throughout the day. So we hear, we pray, we meditate or we think about it, and then finally we act on what we hear. Jesus says, if you really want to understand what I'm about, then you need to start doing the things that you know I'm asking you to do, and then you'll discover, okay? So this is a vital fourth step, is that we begin to act on the things that we are hearing. That's how we really get it into our hearts and minds, is when we begin to live it out. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know, traveling, you're in rooms that are different than the rooms at home, right? So we're in this one room. It was a very nice place we were staying at this particular night. They weren't all like that, for sure. But this place was very nice, and I was kind of amused because next to the bed, on both my side and Deb's side, there was a switch, and the switch was labeled nightlight. Nightlight. And when you turn that switch on, a light came on in the bathroom so you could see your way. And as someone who does that two or three times a night, I so appreciated the nightlight. Okay? I didn't hit my leg against the bed or a dresser or anything. I was able to follow the light. It was wonderful, right? I think I'll do that at home. Ask Deb to wire up a nightlight next to the No, it's but you know, that's what the Word of God is meant to be for us, so that we don't stumble along the way. We need a light to guide us, and that's what the Word of God is. And the psalmist says, direct my footsteps according to your word, let no sin rule over me. How are you going to make it in this world that's constantly changing, and throwing new things at you and new challenges at you if you don't have something that guides your way? The Word of God is meant to guide us through a difficult, challenging, changing world. And it will. But we have to hear it, pray about it, think about it, and follow it. Last thought for this morning, we can and must become more effective hearers of God's Word. Let's pray.
Thanks for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk with Jesus Christ. For more resources, visit our website at northgatefmc.com or download the Northgate app. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.